Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I want us to look at the verses that our brother just read for us. This is a prayer of David, and the Holy Spirit inspired him to say something in this prayer that struck a chord with me. If anybody's ever played an instrument, you know what it feels like inside when you come across a chord you've never heard before, and it strikes a chord in you. It resonates in you. Something, it struck a chord in me. And this is what it is. It's verse 132. David said, and as I read this, let's ask the Lord to give us faith to read this in faith. Let's faithfully, with faith, believing. Let's read this in that way, okay? Verse 132, he said, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Be merciful to me. Look thou upon me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. David said, Lord, would you do again what you used to do? Now ask the Lord to strike a chord in you. Ask the Lord to let you get a hold of that. Sincerely, ask the Lord to let you get a hold of that. David said, Lord, would you do the same thing for me that you used to do for all of the brethren from generations ago? Would you do the same thing for me? I got to thinking about our brethren from generations ago, brethren from a long time ago, and I got to thinking about just how human they were. Just how human they really were. And I thought about some of the things that the Lord did for those brethren. Just think about what he did for Abraham. When Abraham took Isaac, his son, up on Mount Moriah, as God told him to do, and he built an altar and he tied him up and made his son to be a sacrifice for God. In faith, he was doing it in faith, trusting God, believing God. He was just at that moment where you can only imagine he had to have a moment where he said, I'm really going to do this. It doesn't appear God is stopping me, and I'm really going to do this. And at that moment, the Lord said, Abraham, turn around. Look behind you. And there was a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham laid hold of that ram and threw him on his son. And don't you know that as Abraham plunged that knife into Isaac's substitute, don't you know he was crying, thank you, Lord. Don't you know he was? Thank you. Would you do that for me? That relief, would you do that for me? Think about what the Lord did for Noah. Just really, we know the story. Noah was a man of like passions, just like we are. A brother. He's a brother in Christ, just like we are. Think about what the Lord did for Noah in providing him an ark. God provided him an ark. He provided him a place of safety, a place of deliverance. God gave him grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And as the rain of judgment came down and Noah felt himself rise up, don't you know he was crying? Thank you, Lord. I can sincerely, I thought about this, I can envision Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their three sons' wives literally crying in that moment, realizing what's going on, literally crying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Think about what the Lord did for Joseph. Joseph, Jacob's son, Israel's son. Think about all of the Lord's watch care over Joseph's entire life. Tragic story if you really think about the details of taken from his family, sold into slavery. All of the Lord's, you just think about all of our God's perfect providence throughout his whole life. Perfect. Perfect providence. All the way from the pit to the favor of the throne of Egypt. Think of everything that the Lord did for Moses. Keeping his guiding hand, keeping his leading hand on Moses. Moses led all of these people 40 years. Think of everything that the Lord did for David, in spite of David. In spite of David's sin, in spite of his reproach, this is what the Lord said. He said, David is a man after my own heart. He is in my heart. I love him. I love him. And I have made an everlasting covenant with him, ordered in all things and sure. That's what God said and God did. He really did it with David, that man. I love him. I've made a covenant. I've made a promise. And I'm keeping it. Ordered in all things and sure. Look at what the Lord did for Elijah. He literally carried him right on up into glory. A chariot of fire came down and got him. And it's not going to be the same way, but you know, he's going to carry us right on up into glory. We're just going to be taken right on up into glory. All of a sudden, we'll be not here. Lord, carry us just like you carried him right on up into glory when our time comes. Look at what the Lord did for Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Brought impossible deliverance to those men. Impossible deliverance. That fiery furnace was so hot, the men that threw them in died. Impossible deliverance. Impossible with man. Impossible for man, not impossible with God. Look at what the Lord did for a man named Saul of Tarsus. Look what the Lord did for him. One who was a sworn enemy of God. Just a sworn and just lost in self-righteous religion. I have so much hope for sinners, but I tend to think, you know, well, God's not going to say, he's just too self-righteous. He's just too religious. Well, God can save anybody. He can save anybody. I don't care how religious they are, how self-righteous they are. But Saul was a sworn enemy of God, and the Lord God Almighty, this is what he did. He conquered him, and Saul knew he was conquered. He broke him, and he made him to be a chosen vessel of mercy sent to preach and to write the very gospel he hated. Look at what the Lord did for Martin Luther and John Calvin, men who were held captive to the lie and the idolatry of Catholicism and whatever type of false religion it is. False religion. held to the lie of it, held to the idolatry of it. The Lord opened their eyes and He turned them to serve the living and true God. He gave them boldness to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified alone. Those men had exceptional boldness and courage and confidence. Here I stand, I can do no other. Think about what the Lord did for Charles Spurgeon. Really? Giving him the message, He gave Brother Charles the message, and He blessed the message that was given to that man. No glory to any of these men. All the glory be to God. But He gave that man the ability to communicate that message sincerely. I love reading Spurgeon. He gave that man heart. He gave him the ability to communicate this word to men and women's souls with heart. I've told you the story before, that man and woman who traveled to England years ago during the days of Spurgeon, back in the late 1800s. And while they were there, they wanted to go hear him preach. They had read, he put out writings, and they had read his writings, and they wanted to go hear him preach in person. But when they got to Metropolitan Tabernacle, where Spurgeon pastored, that was the name of the church building that he pastored, that place held thousands of people. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. It held thousands of people. But when they got there, he was so packed that Sunday morning they couldn't get in. And I started thinking about that. I'm sure they did what we do. We tell everybody, come on in, we will cram you somewhere. But I'm sure that they had crammed all they could cram, and they just had to turn them away. They could not hold any more people. What an amazing blessing. So this man and the woman said, okay, well, there's a church down the street. Let's just go there. So they did. And the man who pastored that church, he was a very well-educated, a very well-spoken, charismatic man. And after the service was over, they walked out of that building saying, what a sermon. My, what a sermon. What a sermon indeed. That evening, they went back to Metropolitan Tabernacle. And this time they got in. And they heard Brother Spurgeon preach. And after that service was over, they walked out, both of them, with just tears rolling down their faces. And they said to each other, what a Savior. My, what a Savior. Oh, my soul, what a Savior. The Lord gave our brother great, great ability to communicate the glorious gospel of Christ. We preach Christ. And He gave that man the ability to just bless it to the hearts of people. God did that. I believe the Lord God gave that same ability to our brother Henry Mahan. I believe He did in a special way. He had the ability to preach the heart of the gospel. He had the ability to preach the love of the gospel. He had the ability to preach the truth of the gospel. Lord, would You do for us the same thing that You used to do for all of our brethren throughout the ages? Would You give the joy of a substitute sacrifice for us? I can't make myself rejoice in anything. God's Spirit's going to have to do it. And in the same rejoicing over a substitute sacrifice that Abraham had in that moment, oh, thank God, would You do that for us? Would you put that joy in us? Would you put the thankfulness of a covering of safety? Noah had that covering. God's judgment poured out on Noah like everybody else, but he had a covering. He had an atonement. Lord, would you give that thankfulness for a covering of safety to us? Would you make known your providence to us? Would you cause us to see your providence in all these things? If the Lord said, Joseph, if he told him beforehand, this is my providence for you. I'm going to rip you from your family, sell you into slavery, throw you in a pit. I'm going to this, I'm going to this, I'm going to this. Lord, would you cause us to see your providential hand in everything? Lord, would you lead us through this wilderness, however many more years, for the next 40 years? Lord, would you receive us like you received Elijah? Would you deliver us like you delivered our brethren from the pit, the fiery furnace? Would you conquer us? Lord, would you conquer us? Would you turn us? Would you put your message in us? Would you please do for us all of those glorious things that you used to do for our brethren? For some reason, we look at this and we think, those days are over. God did that in the past, and that's over and done. Honestly, this is my prayer. I've said this to you so many times, and I believe I mean it more every time I say it. This is my prayer. Lord, would you send a revival in the midst of our years? Just like you did in generations past. Just like you did. Just like you used to do. Would you send a revival? Lord, would you break the hearts of men and women in our generation? As man goes about his business just so proud and just so, oh man, Lord, you can. Let's ask this in faith. Lord, you can. Would you literally break the hearts of men and women in our generation? I can't help but think about Israel, you know, kingdoms in the past. A king would say, let's all fast and as a country cry out to God for help. And all the people would gather together with their wives and their little ones. Would you do for us what you used to do for them? Would you put a desperate need in the souls of men and women for the blood of Jesus Christ? The blood of Christ. I have to have the blood of Christ. Would you do that today? Would you call and would you cause your people to come running to you? Probably one of the most profound and impactful moments for me as a preacher. I believe this is what set my determination for preaching. I was already preaching. It's not what made me want to preach. But this is probably the biggest impact I've ever had in this regard. Just before Hannah and I moved here, I was over at Brother Henry Mahan's house one afternoon, and he was trying to tell me everything he could think to tell me before I left. And I was just so grateful. And I wrote stuff down and I soaked stuff up. But he was telling me about things. We were just talking about things. And he was telling me about the preacher school that he had in the early 80s and the men that the Lord raised up to preach and how they were going out and the Lord was raising up groups and churches were being formed and just all the things that the Lord was doing. And I said to him, oh, I wish I could have been around back then. I wish I could have been at this place in life back then. And I'll never forget this. We're having coffee or something, but he hit his table so hard the dishes rattled. Boom. And he looked me right in the eye and he said, God's not out of business. I'm so glad he said that. What he was saying is, this world is still turning, isn't it? We're about ready to fold the world up before God is. The world is still going on, isn't it? God still has a people out there. We all take on the mindset of Elijah. Lord, I'm the only one. We're the only one. God still has a people out there. He saved us, didn't he? There is still a remnant. I got a letter from a man one time, and he was talking about all of the things that he was enduring. He was in some trials. He said, thank God there's still a remnant. There's still a remnant. God still has people out there. He hasn't left this place without sheep. What Henry was saying is, go find them. God will find them, but he'll use the message. He's not weak to save. He's mighty to save. Go preach the gospel to them. Go throw the seed out there. They'll come eat. His people will. His chosen, elect, called, redeemed, not lost people will. Lord, I'm saying this and I mean this and I'm praying this on our behalf. Lord, would you do for us right now today those same things that you used to do in all of your glory, for all of your glory? Would you do for us the same things that you did for your people back then? Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you change not. That's the only reason we're not concerned. As you have from the beginning looked on your people and been merciful to your people, would you now look on us and be merciful to us and do these glorious things for us? Would you do this for us? Lord, if you will, you can. We know you're able. We know you're able. Would you? That's our question. Would you? Verse 133 says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. I'm filled with iniquity, but our God said, it's not going to have dominion over my people. I've dealt with it. And it will not have dominion. But we read that, and this is our reply. Lord, you're going to have to do that. I can't cause myself to not have let sin have dominion over me. You're going to have to do that. I can't do it. You have to do that. You order my steps. You let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You have to do that. Verse 134 says, deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Lord, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to deliver me. You're going to have to cause me. You're going to have to make a new creation in me and cause me to keep your precepts. 135 says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Lord, you're going to have to do that. I can't do it. This is of you. This has to be of you. This is only of you. Salvation is of you. Blessing is of you. Keeping is of you. All things are of you. Nothing is of me. Everything is of you. Verse 136, he said, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. I saw three things in that verse. Number one, I see the desire of God's people for other men and women to be saved. We want people to be saved, don't we? Other men and women, we desire that they know the truth. We desire that they know the truth of their wretchedness, the truth of God's holiness, the truth of the fact that the only hope that any sinner has before the throne of God is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That hope is in a denial of self. It's in a pleading of Christ. That's it. Rivers of water pour out of the eyes of God's people because they want their families to know Christ. I want my family to know Christ. I want my friends to know Christ. I want this city to stop playing games and bow the knee to Jesus Christ. I do. I don't have the power to make them do that, but He does. Rivers of water run down our eyes because they keep not thy law. They don't do it. That's the first thing we can see. The second thing is, rivers of water run down our eyes because our own eyes don't keep thy law. The lust of these eyes, the sin of this gateway to the body right here, it makes us cry, God, be merciful to us. Rivers of waters run down our eyes because they keep not thy law. They need a substitute. They need a freely given righteousness. So in that we see the desire of God's people for other men and women to know Christ and be saved. We see the conviction of God's people in their own sin and their own desperate need of Christ in being saved. And in this we see the salvation of God's people in Christ saying to His Father, as though these are the words of Christ Himself, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because my people have not kept your law. His compassion, in His pity, in His love, He said, Father, I'll bear their judgment, I'll bear their punishment. Lay their sin on me because they kept not thy law. Cause the rivers of waters to run down my eyes. Let me suffer. Lord, would you say these things for us? Don't you pray, God, compassionately bore the judgment of His people. Don't you want it to be you? I want it to be me. Lord, say these things for us. Say it for, like you said it for our brethren back then. Include us. These promises, these testimonies that you've given in here of your promises for your people, would you apply these promises and these testimonies to us? I'm done, but look at verse 129. It says, I love this. It says, thy testimonies are wonderful. They're wonderful. Therefore, my soul is hanging on them. Therefore, doth my soul keep them. I'm trusting in them. I'm hoping in them. All of my hope is in the fact that you will do for me what you did for them. That's my hope. 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Your word has revealed my sin to me, my need to me, your holiness to me, your demands to me, your blood to me, your righteousness to me, you to me. And therefore, verse 131 says, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Lord, based on what you have revealed to me, I need you. I need you. I long for you. I hope in you. I trust in you. Please consider me. Remember me, like the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me. This is all I have, is that you would remember me. 132 says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. Hide me in the rock. Cover me in the blood. Show mercy to me in Christ my salvation. He went on to say, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Let me leave you with this, okay? Are we one of them? Will He do it for us? What He did for them, will He do it for us? Are we included? Will he remember us? Here's how we can know. Do we love his name? Do we love his name? At the hearing of his name, do our hearts bow? They do. We do. We do. Our heart, every time I hear his name, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Please give us Christ. If you love his name, my hope, my life, my all, then say with confidence, Lord, give me Christ. Please give me Christ. As you gave Christ to our brethren of old, please give Christ to us too. Aren't you so glad the testimony of our Lord? It says, thy testimonies are wonderful. Aren't you so glad that the testimony of our Lord says, ask and you'll receive? Ask and you'll receive. Wonderful. All right, let's all stand together.